coming this afternoon. Everybody's so excited and so keen on what we're doing. Someone's come all the way from Australia. Yes, come all the way from Australia just for this. I said to Leslie that he gets a bit of lucky, he always gets me to introduce him, and he said, "Well, it's all my pleasure." He said, "Oh, my pleasure." That is, we have a few things in common. We were in the same years of school. We ended up going to the same college, Cambridge, and we both married ladies called Margaret. And the old joke I keep telling, he's had the pleasure of being whipped by one of my girlfriends. He enjoyed it so much that he married her son. A few moments of professional things that he spent 10 years in looking after Papa Doc, and he'll tell you all about that if you ask him nicely. He's one of the few people to be elected to be the head of the Methodist Conference while still a travelling preacher, and he also became member of the House of Lords in 2004, in which he's going to tell you all about it in his talk. So Leslie, welcome.
Well, my friends, honourable members of civic leadership, former pupils of what we used to call the boys' grammar school, and their hangers-on. It's very nice to see you all, and I've been sat on the rowdy table, and the quieter ones I quite admired from a distance, so lovely to see you all. I'm going to be talking this evening to the WEA group in Llanelli, and I gave as a subject views from the front bench. And Peter Lane, with his usual entrepreneurial skill, picked this up and thought he'd cash in on the fact I was coming this way, and it made a good excuse for us to have a lunch together and to share a few ideas and thoughts. Now I'm going to talk, I just want to acknowledge also the presence of Felicity, who when I'm in these parts, she is my bishop. I come into her terrain, and she is really, I'm obliged to seek her guidance and inspiration. But sitting next to her is Benjamin Andrews. Benjamin is from year 10 from the Canterbury Academy, Multi-Academy Trust. And pupils from his school came to Parliament last year, and I made contact with them. I was giving them a talk in the Educational Centre in Parliament, and out of that came a conversation that led to him coming on a work placement with me this week. I did say, "I'm afraid I'll have to take you to Llanelli," and he didn't demur. So we must give him due credit for his courage and his intrepid skills in facing a hostile audience, because I've told him all about you in coming this way. So here am I, and I'm going to talk about, largely, this week, because it's been quite an interesting week, and as I've tried to show it to young Benjamin. And it's you'll see in a moment that it has been a fascinating week. But before I do that, I would like first of all to talk about a photograph I brought with me. I'm going to take two back, by the way, because Ian Withy here, contemporary of mine, not only at the grammar school, but at the county primary school in Stepney Road, Buryport, and before that, the infant school in the back end, on the wrong side of the tracks in Buryport, where all the toughs, the roughs, and the nasties live. And I have inherited all their worst characteristics. Now, the photograph that Ian's given me is of a classroom party for the Festival of Britain, down in the back end, the Copperworks School, and in 1951. And I've identified him in the picture. We've identified Terry Pratt in the picture, and I've identified myself in the picture, age 9. Can you believe it? I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. When I take that home, it'll be a prized possession. Thank you, Ian. But I brought a photograph too. Let me just tell you this extraordinary. I've written this up, by the way, for the Tonelli Miscellany, so it will appear in print eventually, but I may as well get two runs out of it. Well, I'm living now in Croydon. I've lived in central London for quite a while, and retired from active ministry last summer. And we moved, as a consequence of that, to South London, where I've never lived before, and to Croydon. And we are enjoying it very much. We, us professional preachers, are never quite sure when we stop preaching if we're going to find somewhere where we're comfortable with the one who is preaching, because we always think we could do it better ourselves. Mercifully, we have found a lovely little church, very socially active, very nice cross-section of people, and we're at home in it. Well, after we'd been three or four times to this church in Shirley, it's called, in Croydon, we noticed someone who was a busy sort of person in the Sunday school and other places, and we were getting to know people, and she told me that her name was Rosemary Jones. And in conversation with Rosemary Jones, it transpired that she was the mother of the newly elected Member of Parliament for Central Croydon, 1 year ago. And her name is Sarah Jones. Now I'm a Labour Party man and she's a Labour Party woman, and we've enjoyed each other's company quite a bit since finding all these things out. But in the conversation about Sarah, Rosemary told me how glad she'd been that her husband had lived long enough to see his daughter elected, because he died 2 weeks after she was elected. And so I said, well, what was he? He was a lawyer, a commercial lawyer in London. And I said, Jones, it's not a Welsh Jones. But, oh yes, she said, it is a Welsh Jones. I said, really? I said, and where, which part of Wales? Oh, she said, Llanelli. I said, really? And I said, well, what was his name? Or what was his age? And she told me his age. And where did he go to school? And it was Llanelli Grammar School. And she then told me that he was David Jones, and my heart sank. I mean, what can you do with David Jones? Well, because best man at my wedding and contemporary at school was David Rhys Jones, Diaries Jones. And it wasn't him. There was another David Jones. It wasn't him either. Well, I couldn't remember any others, but there must have been at least six. Anyway, I went home and I wasn't happy with not having concluded the conversation, looked at my photograph album and found this photograph of the Sixth Form Forum Committee. And in this is Stan Rees, Bingo Rees, Froggy Harris, there they all sat in the middle, David Anderson Jones, that's another one, isn't it? David Anderson Jones, another David Jones, you see? David Anderson Jones, Ken Evans, Tudor Thomas, here they all are. Michael Howard, there he is, and, because they've signed it at the back, David Lewis Jones. That's the one. So David Lewis Jones, contemporary of mine at school, who died before, I could get to know him, is the father of my Member of Parliament. Now, don't you think that's extraordinary? I think it's really fantastic, to be quite honest. So, sorry? You? Well, you went to Fitzwilliam? Oh, well, there you go. Everybody goes to Fitzwilliam. Who's anybody? Yes. So I thought I'd kind of start there, simply because I think a tale in this context is it's a tale worth telling. Binds us all together. Last year, when I retired from the ministry after 50 years, I said to the chief whip of my party, I've been a member of the Labour Party longer than I've been a Christian, I've never wanted to change any of that, and I've taken the Labour whip in the House of Lords. Tony Blair said to me that he'd understand it as a Christian minister if I wanted to sit on the crossbenches. I said, goodness me, I said, going into the House of Lords, going into a political arena and denying yourself to do the chance to do the politics? I, no, no. Anyway, I said, politics is too important to leave to politicians. So, I've always been happy to sit on the London, on the Labour benches and to play my part and to make speeches according to interest and so on, but never felt it was compatible with my being a Christian minister to be overtly and in a partisan manner political. You have an honoured position as a preacher. You have to be fair to everybody in front of you who may or may not share your own political views. And I'd managed that for 50 years. But I said to the Chief Whip, I'm going to retire, and if there's any bits and pieces you would like me to do to help out, and she jumped at the chance. Indeed, she cheered. And she took me into her room and introduced me to others. And so immediately she said, you're on the Whip's team, you're on the front bench. So that was the summer, and off I went for my holiday, thinking, that's nice. Because in my head, being a whip meant dealing with getting people through the voting lobbies, discipline cases, making sure people were turning up, looking at things pastorally, if any of the members were falling ill and so on. All that seemed to fit me to a T. It was only when I came back in October that the leader of the party said, oh, in the Lords it's not like that. In the Lords, the whips have to accept departmental responsibility. They have to have a portfolio where they are responsible for policy. So I said, well, what do you have in mind? She said, well, we've been having a chat and we wondered whether you'd like to do DCMS. Now, that used to be called the Ministry of Fun because it's culture. Well, I believe in a bit of culture. Media, I've worked with the media for all my ministry, really. I've started my media life as the front page reporter for the Burryport Star when I was a teenager. And sport, well, goodness me, coming from Llanelli, you can't but be interested in sport. Although I noticed that when I saw Michael Howard, I said, Michael, why are you a Tory? Because everybody else is Llanelli's Labour, he said. I said, why do you follow football? He said, because everybody in Llanelli is a rugby fan. I said, what a lovely basis upon which to build the beliefs that you aspire. Anyway, so DCMS. So I thought, well, that's perfect. Department of Culture, Media and Sport. And she said, ah, you've accepted, haven't you? I said, I'd love to do it. She said, well, she said, the D is not department. It's digital. And by the way, she said, tomorrow is the second reading of the Data Processing Bill. I didn't even know what the GDPR was at that point. And so I've been catching up furiously with an enormously complicated bill, more about which I'll be talking to the WA this evening. But the other interesting area, because you have to have two portfolios, is Wales. Well, I jumped at the chance of being the Labour Party spokesperson on Wales. Of course I did. She said, and now anybody got an assembly, got devolved government. I mean, there's nothing much to do in Westminster anymore. So I thought I'd get all the glory without having to do any work. I mean, what a formula for success that is. Anyway, she said, let me introduce you to Diane Hayter. Now, Diane Hayter is a kind of fierce woman who ran Tony Blair's private office. Hayter was a very good name for her. But she said to me, no, whoa, she said. You think there's nothing to do, but we are coming out of the European Union. There's going to be a bill called the European Union Withdrawal Bill, where one of the key issues that they're going to have the biggest struggle about is how to provide for the devolved governments during the withdrawal process. So you're going to be on the front bench defending the interests of Wales in the discussions about our future when we're no longer in Europe. Well, there we go. I survived somehow until January, when we got rid of the wretched data processing bill, only to find that the European Union withdrawal bill was now upon it. And that is pretty much where my life is just at the moment. But Benjamin is here, and he's been in Parliament with me this week, and we've had a great opportunity, he's had a great opportunity, but so have I, to see just how we're approaching all of this. The European Withdrawal Bill seeks to ensure that on the 30th of March next year, the day we come out of Europe, there is a body of law that can deal with our legal requirements, because we're putting an end to the legal system we are currently part of, but we'll still need a legal system that runs our everyday affairs from the moment we're no longer in the other one. And boy, oh boy, is it complicated. It's terrifically complicated. Anyway, we've had 15 days of committee stage in the House of Lords. The House of Commons, they guillotine discussions. That is, you have so many hours, and that's it. And consequently, there are several things in the bill, the complicated bill, that have never even been discussed in the House of Commons. So, in the House of Lords, we have to go through it all with a toothpick. We have to go through absolutely everything in order to ensure that it goes on the statute book with everything having been looked at. And it's the Lords that does that, not the Commons. Of course, when we've made our minds up and send it back to the Commons in an amended form, they're perfectly capable of saying rubbish to it. But at least it will have been looked at. Well, all of that by way of background, because Benjamin came with me to a meeting, it's a daily meeting, of the whips. A team of about 12 of us, and we manage the business from a Labour point of view in the House of Lords. We had had 15 days of committee stage going through this bill. 372 amendments were discussed. David Wigley was on his feet quite a lot, because he puts the case for Wales from a nationalist point of view, of course, with great passion. He's greatly respected, I have to say, in the House of Lords, and he and I have become good friends, disagreeing, of course, on certain things, where our disagreements inevitably mean that he's wrong and I'm right. But 15 days. And even then we couldn't fit it into the parliamentary timetable. We had to start our Wednesday meetings at 11 o'clock instead of 3 o'clock in order to squeeze it in. And on Mondays we had to let the business run until it had finished, and sometimes it was 2:30 a.m. It's been an extraordinary amount of time. 372 amendments. It's been an amazing experience. But during that committee stage, all the issues that were going to prove problematical were put forward and discussed. The government was put on red alert. When we come back for report stage, we are going to test you on this and that and this and that, and we had a long list of them. And so yesterday we started, just yesterday, report stage. You'll have seen or perhaps heard on the news that the government was defeated massively by our vote yesterday. But on before it, Benjamin sat on a sofa there whilst we whips talked about the strategies. What were the strategies for dealing with the question yesterday was, shall we remain in a customs union when the Brexit thing goes through? In other words, can we somehow have the advantages of trading with each other without these wretched tariffs or this need for paperwork that's going to make things infinitely more complicated for people in Dover why not Fishguard and our ports and so on, and Harwich and over on the eastern side. Is there any chance of us being in a customs union? Not discussed in the Commons at all. Well, yesterday we discussed it. But at the whips meeting, the tactics were, number one, make sure they've had their 15 committee days, plenty of time to talk for as long as you wanted to. Make sure your speeches are short. That's quite the thing to ask of politicians. Make sure you're the same as preachers. I mean, if anybody tells me you've got 10 minutes to preach a sermon, I go to Anglican churches, you know, to preach, and I always make a comment that the little lectern they give you is just for putting postcards on it. I said, when a Methodist comes, There's no way I'm going to stick to a 5 minute thing. And if you're going to grumble afterwards, I keep on telling them this, if you're going to grumble afterwards at the length of a Methodist sermon, you all can be contented with the fact you don't have to invite me again. Very simple. But whilst I'm here, you're going to have my sermon, and that's the end of it. So we strategized. This was going to be a major thing. Secondly, we were not going to put the amendment ourselves. We did not want this to be a debate about Labour just being against the Conservatives. So we talked with people on the Liberal Democrat benches, the Bishop's bench, the cross-party benches, and the Conservatives. And the motion that was put down was in the name of people from every party, from every part of the House. So it wasn't Labour against Conservative, it was cross-party amendment, and it was introduced by a former diplomat, the man who actually wrote Article 50 that we all know about, Lord Kerr of King Lochard, and boy, oh boy, was it a brilliant, wonderful speech. But it's been an interesting week, and I'll just conclude these remarks really because I could just, as you can guess, I've been taught to filibuster, basically, and I'm quite sure I could continue until I see the sun go down in the west and send you all home with little doggy bags, but I'll be kinder to you than that. But just one final thing is about Lord Richard, Ivor Richard, who may or may not be a name to you, but he's a very considerable one. I find it extraordinary that people are turning to me as if I was still a Methodist minister, even though I am still a Methodist minister ontologically, but I'm not functionally. Just last week, I did the funeral service for Brenda Dean. Now, she was head of NALGO, if you remember, the printing union, during the Wapping dispute in the 1980s. And this week I did the funeral of Ivor Richard. So they're looking to me to be the kind of man who buries the Labour Party. There's a lot more burying I'd like to do, but that's an entirely different matter. But just think of this boy from Betus, which is on the outskirts of Ammanford. I don't know if you know Betus. When I started preaching, it was the Llanelli and Carmarthen circuit, and there was a chapel in Ammanford and Cwm Gors, and certainly in Pont y Dylas, which is still there. I used to go to Ammanford to preach, but Betws is just across the river. It's only in 1892 that they built a bridge across the river so that Betws could enter the rest of creation. Because until then, you could only get to Betws by going over the mountains. Anyway, 1892. Now, Jim Griffiths, Member of Parliament for this constituency, was of course born before the bridge was built. And he was from Betws also. But Ivor Richards was from Betws. They tell me, I've never seen it, but they tell me that on the bridge over Betws that took Jim Griffiths, first of all to Llanelli, and then to London, and then Minister of the Colonies, this great global ministry of Jim Griffiths, the architect of the welfare state. I won't have it that it's an Iron Bevan. We thank an Iron Bevan. But Jim Griffiths put family allowances, national insurance, injuries at work, and national assistance on the statute book. That's four of the six key pieces of legislation that make up the welfare state. Why hasn't Llanelli done better for his memory than it has done? A little bit, I know. But Elwyn Jones has got something a bit more than Jim Griffiths. Jim Griffiths was the architect of the welfare state. And when he went in to see Clem Attlee, and Attlee said to him, I want you to go to the Foreign Office, Jim. He was by then deputy leader of the Labour Party. Jim said, I don't want the Foreign Office. I'm not equipped to do the Foreign Office. And turned and left. Attlee called him back and said, Jim, don't you want to be in government? He said, yes. Well, what do you want to do? He said, work and pensions. I want to do something for the people I've come from. And boy, did he. I mean, all my life's chances are the result of Jim Griffiths's approach to problem solving and the creation of a humane society for people to grow up in. Anyway, Betws, they say that there's a signpost on the bridge that links Betws to Ammanford. that says Betus Arbid, which means Betus that way, the rest of the world that way. And of course, Jim Griffiths did that, so did Ivor Richard. Because Ivor Richard left Betus, crossed that bridge towards the rest of the world, first of all, to be educated in St. Michael's School in the Bryn here in Llanelli, then Cheltenham to finish his schooling off, and then Harold Wilson asked him to go to New York to be our permanent representative at the United Nations. It was Ivor Richard who chaired the Geneva Conference on the Future of Rhodesia in 1976, and when he came back having finished his stint, Margaret Thatcher sent him to Brussels to be one of the two commissioners. We used to have two commissioners in those days in Brussels, and he had responsibility for education and so on. But he was so progressive in his ideas that Margaret Thatcher did not renew his mandate when he finished his first tour. So after 4 years as a commissioner in Brussels, 5 years as a permanent representative in New York, he came back and took up his legal things again until John Smith put him in the House of Lords in 1990, and soon after John Smith's death, Tony Blair made him leader of the Labour Party in the House of Lords, and when Blair won the election in 1997, put him in his cabinet as Lord Privy Seal, and Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster. Well, there you go. So he was a very eminent man, but then suddenly he's out of work. Politicians are in and out of work just like that. And Rodri Morgan asked Ivor Richard to chair a commission to give a shape and a direction to devolved politics in Wales. And the Richard Commission came into existence. And his real legacy will be his legacy to his native Wales. Because I don't know how many of you remember those opening days of devolved government in the late 1990s and so on. It was chaotic, with the Lib Dems doing this and the Plaid doing that and the Tories not doing anything and so on. But Ivor Richard took all of that, and getting support from every party, including the Conservatives and Plaid, put together this constitutional arrangement that took devolved government in Wales from operating only on secondary powers granted by the Westminster Parliament to having competence with primary legislation across a whole range of subject areas affecting the life of the principality. He died, and his widow asked me to do the funeral. And we did it with some, and Benjamin came to the funeral. I mean, at 14, if you don't go to a funeral, you haven't lived. At least that was my argument at the time. So it's been quite a week. From the front bench, there it is, this range of things that happens. There are other things. But you might invite me back next year and I'll talk about them.